happy 80th birthday. Just so you know, when the next 80 years finishes, I will not be standing here preaching. I am guaranteeing you that. So happy birthday. The church that you're sitting in, or the church that we are now associated with, began in 1941. Rich, I appreciate the history because I could have never done that. You have much more connection with how we got to this point. My synopsis is it started off in 1941 as Stanton Church of Christ. In 1975, remember, 75 years later, we start in 2016, we renamed the church to Parkview Christian Church. And well, the name is not the only thing that's changed over the years. On the banner behind me, it shows you what some of the things were like in 80 years ago. For example, a gallon of gas was 19 cents. Sign me up. 19 cents a gallon. There's more tax on it that day. But that's not the only thing. According to overthehill.com, this is what 1941 looked like. Games specifically designed for children that were released that year included Candyland, Chutes and Ladders, and the ever infamous game of Clue, 1941. Silly Putty was accidentally discovered when General Electric engineer was trying to create a synthetic rubber. Tonka trucks became very popular in 1941 and has encouraged young boys to play with miniature versions of trucks their fathers drove on the job. The Slinky debuted, you know, it walks downstairs or alone or in pairs, debuted and became a hit amongst kids, the must-have toy. The best-selling children's books included Goodnight Moon by Margaret Wise Brown, Curious George, the original Curious George, by H.A. Margaret Ray, and Horton Hatches the Egg by Dr. Seuss. This era was known as the Golden Age of comic books, and it's when some of the very first and famous superheroes and comics were debuting. So therefore, whenever you see the Marvel Cinematic Universe and they creep their way into the church, and your fault, 1941 is when one of these characters were born. Television had not yet taken off, but kids nationwide still enjoyed tuning into the radio for shows with their families. So instead of they gathered around a radio. And well, that's not the only thing that's changed. Our neighborhood, the population around us, it's changed, folks. In 1941, the population was 13,000, excuse me, 1940, I didn't have a 41 census out there. In 1940, the population was 13,337. Today, Stanton is at 24,932, according to the last calculated census, so almost double in size. Legal decisions in our society have changed how people are viewed concerning race, family construction, social status, and even gender. And well, the changes that have been caused by this have created a groundswell of debates. And well, folks, I hate to tell you this, the church is not immune to the changes. We have a community and a neighborhood that all around us has changed, and the church today is still struggling with how do we, the church, minister in our modern day neighborhood, because it just isn't the way that it used to be. Now, when we say that, there is a simple and a difficult. So here's the simple command. Luke chapter 10, verse 27, he answered, he being Jesus, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So that's how we're supposed to treat the neighborhood. And we'll get to that love your neighbor, in just a moment. But I just want you to really realize this wasn't just a Jesus statement and then it went away. In Romans chapter 13, verse 10, Paul echoes, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Paul continues in Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. For the entire law is fulfilled in the keeping of this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. And well, James followed it. James chapter 2, verse 8 says, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. This love your neighbor thing seems to be like maybe it's the foundational cornerstone of what Jesus was trying to build in the church. Now, interesting enough, when Jesus made the original statement, the statement wasn't all that well received. As a matter of fact, the gentleman had asked the question that brought this statement alive, came back from Jesus' statement. He says, but he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? What a dumb question. I mean, I know what a neighbor is, right? A neighbor is one living or located near a neighbor, another. The question is, it's 1941, do you know who the people in your neighborhood were?
How would you like to meet some people around the neighborhood today? All right. Oh, who are the people in your neighborhood? In your neighborhood, in your neighborhood. Say, who are the people in your neighborhood? The people that you meet each day. Hi there, mister. How are you?
Oh, hi. Hey, it's a nifty-looking sweater you got there.
Thanks very much.
You got a little spot in the front, though.
Oh, how'd you notice that?
It's my job. Then I'll see these clothes.
Yep.
Well, I clean them up, I bag them up, hang them up, and ship them out.
Oh, you must be a...
I'm a cleaner.
Tell me about it.
All right, I'll tell you about it. Oh, a cleaner is a man who knows how to clean and press your finest clothes. I'll take the jacket, suit, or vest, and clean it so you look your best.
'Cause a cleaner is a person in your neighborhood.
In your neighborhood. In your neighborhood. Oh, a cleaner is a person in your neighborhood.
A person that you meet each day. I'll see you a little
later. I got work to do.
All right. Oh, now, could you give me a clue as to who you are?
I don't use clue, I use glue.
Oh, use glue. And use a hammer and
right.
Nails.
Yeah.
And you're fixing a little shoe.
Uh-huh.
You must be the shoemaker.
You're right, I am.
Tell me about it.
Okay. Oh, the shoemaker's always there to take care of the shoes you wear. With my hammer and my nails and glue, I'll fix your shoes as good as new.
'Cause a shoemaker's a person in your neighborhood.
In your neighborhood.
He's in your neighborhood.
And a cleaner is a person in your neighborhood.
Well, they're the people that you meet.
When you're walking down the street,
they're the people that you meet each day.
Wow, that brought back some memories. Did you know Sesame Street began airing in 1969? This might explain some things to you. That means I literally grew up with Sesame Street. And the funny thing is it now airs in 150 countries. The show has an average of 150 million viewers worldwide and has won 193 Emmys. And you know what? They have one mission, educate children. Now, this is not just ABCs and 1-2-3s. If you've kept up with Sesame Street, they have broached some pretty controversial topics over the years. And the funny thing is, to broach those topics, their neighborhood had to change. After all, Cookie Monster still loves cookies, but to promote good, healthy eating, he had to learn to love veggies also. They've introduced character after character after character, trying to help people understand the neighborhood has changed. And they want you to understand their mission is to reach kids. And so they have to get to that point of how do we bring those kind of kids into their neighborhood. So that brings us to a good question. Hey, church, do you understand your mission? This is the statement that you'll find in your bulletin and any literature that we put out about the church. It is the purpose statement behind our church. The elders cast this about, I guess it's been about 5 years ago when we put this out there. Our purpose is to give glory to God by meeting people where they are, sharing Jesus with them in a meaningful way, and encouraging them to live in a growing relationship with Him. That vision statement is all about the neighborhood. It's about encouraging people into a relationship with God. And that's what brings us into our sermon series today, because we're going to begin to talk about who are the people in our neighborhood. Who are the people that I am supposed to be ministering to, and we're going to cover some topics that are a little edgy and controversial. They make you a little bit uncomfortable, and I make no apologies for that. Because, church, if we are going to fulfill our mission, we have to learn how to love people. And maybe that begins with the idea of be still and know that I'm God. This has been our emphasis all year long. We've been encouraging you to be still and find out what God would have us to do as a church. And you know, maybe the first thing that we need to think about is how do we go about loving those that just don't look lovable?
Hello, everybody. I'm Gary, and I'm going into the neighborhood to ask people to come to church. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. He was constantly out looking for people that needed to know God. He tells us in Acts 1:8 that he wants us to do the same thing. Who are the people in your neighborhood? In your neighborhood, in your neighborhood. Oh, let's meet the people in our neighborhood. They're the people of the street that we really ought to meet. They're the people in God's neighborhood. Hi there, I'm Gary.
Congratulations.
Are you okay?
Why do you ask?
Well, you're kind of blue. Do you want to talk?
I'm not kind of blue. I am blue. Just so you know, that doesn't make me sad or cold or angry. It also doesn't give me a little white hat where I go around singing, la, 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 la. I'm blue because I'm made that way.
I'm sorry, but can I ask you a question?
What?
Would you go to church with me?
Why?
Well, you live in the neighborhood, and we love the people in our neighborhood.
Hey, Fred, what's up? Who's that?
His name's Larry. He wants me to come to church.
It's not Larry, it's Gary.
Church, huh? I went to church once.
You did? What happened?
The door was pretty nice.
What?
That's as far as I got.
Why?
When I got there, they took one look at me and decided I had to be sick. It's not easy, being green, you know? People always assume I have some sort of contagious disease. They prayed for me and told me I should see a doctor. Hey, Fred. Want to come over to my house and see the ball game?
Sure thing. Let's go. See you later, Harry.
Not Harry. It's Gary. Oh, this is going to be tougher than I thought.
Gary has a lot to learn. You can give him a hand. There was a lot of work. By the way, just so you know, as we move through this sermon series, there's been a lot of people that have been playing some roles, so just don't be surprised what might come next. But, you know, Gary's got a lot to learn, because going into the neighborhood isn't just about asking people to church. You have to actually understand the people, and the first issue that we come off with is this idea of discrimination. Now, I want to put something to that video. That video shows you how oftentimes extremes come into play. We had the one guy that was very, I guess, combative. He had been talked about so much about how he looked, he was tired of hearing it. And then we had the other guy that just got dismissed. He showed up and he was ready to come, but they looked at him and said, well, you don't look like me. So, obviously you're not part of the neighborhood. And they sent them on their way. When you talk about discrimination, maybe I am not the best person to preach the sermon. After all, I am a 53-year-old white male that grew up in the Deep South. Well, not the Deep South. I guess Deep South would be a little further, like Alabama or something. But I grew up in Virginia. But maybe I'm the exact person to preach this, because you know what? I have to confess. I've been guilty of what you see on the screen there. I've been guilty in the past at judging people by the way they look. Prejudiced or prejudicial outlook, action, or treatment. The act or practice or an instance of discriminating category rather than an individual. Now, there could be lots of reasons a person gets discriminated against in their appearance. It could be that they are a different, we call the word race. I prefer ethnical origin, but we'll talk about that in just a minute. It could be that they have a physical or mental deficiency that makes them look different. It could be age, could be gender, could be nationality, it could be life choices. But when it comes to this topic, it's time for us to take a dose of reality, folks. Fact number one, don't kid yourself. We all have people in our neighborhood that we avoid or we have to seek interaction with due to their appearance. We look at them and say, I don't think they fit with me. Fact number two, if you spend all your time avoiding them, then there is no way to love them, and then you really can't fulfill the church's mission. Fact three, and here's the one that I just want you to really understand. You can't actually say you're following Jesus Christ because he had this crazy idea that we're supposed to love them. Isn't that uncomfortable? For me to love the neighborhood, I have to get not over other people. I have to get over myself. Because here's the reality. Loving people that look different from me is not an option. It's not. I don't get to pick and choose. Loving people that look different from me is an obligation if you're a Christian. It is part of the territory. If you call yourself a Christian, then this word needs to go out of your dictionary. Let's be honest. I'll raise my hand. How many people have ever used this term? Those people. You know, when you say that, you say a mouthful, because you do understand that the moment you say those people, you've made a distinction between yourself and another person. And God has a very different opinion, folks. This is what it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 26. Then God said, there's words. Remember all the way back to the Achan, the camp, the Achan and the camp. How much we have to take into account what God said. God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so they may rule over the fish and the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. This is ripped straight out of our creative series that we did earlier this year. You do get it. God created fish. He created birds. He created land animals, whether they are the livestock or whether they are the wild animals or whether they're the creatures that crawl or the creatures that slither. And then he created one other category. Humanity. Just one. From a biblical perspective, there is no such thing as those people. Only us people. Nissan came up with this slogan a few years back, and I think the church should maybe adopt it. We are built for the human race. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of, you see the word, all the living. So that means each and every one of us, I don't care where you grew up, I don't care what your background is, I don't care what color your skin tone is, what your nationality is, I don't care what the background is. You do understand, we trace it back far enough, we're all the same. We're all from the same line. We're all just people in the neighborhood. See, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. You recognize that statement, right? It comes from a very important document to our country. But you know, over the years, this idea of created equal, it's kind of taken a beating. See, the settlers who arrived, the Native Americans were not considered equal. Later on in our history, African Americans were not considered equal, and still today, oftentimes, are not. Let's face it, folks, women are not oftentimes treated as equal. If you grew up during that era, during World War II, right after Pearl Harbor, Asian Americans were not considered equal. Maybe you're a little younger than that, and you remember the day the planes flew into the towers. And from that moment on, guess what? Arab Americans were never created equal. Hey, let me get a little more uncomfortable. Today, unborn children in America, they're not considered equal. Say, wait a minute, that's a different... You get it. It's all the same topic. It's all the same issue. The issue is that how we, the people, devalue other people. You know how it works, right? Because once inequality begins, then you know what? I can devalue you, and it begins with name-calling. Think about it. Native Americans, what were they called? Savages. The African Americans and women, believe it or not, at one point, even in American history, they were little more than property. Unborn children, people. They're fetuses. You see, once I can change the name and I cannot see you as a person, then guess what I get to do? I don't have to include you in the neighborhood. God didn't call me to minister to you because you're not part of my neighborhood. And I just want you to understand that is not the way that God intended it to work. You see, God had this really crazy idea. All are created in God's image. Can you appreciate that? All are created in God's image. Quick trigger finger there, sorry. And when God created, you notice what he said? All. When God created humanity, do you know he only made it two distinctions? Male and female. And even amongst male and female, what did he say? Both are created in my image. So here are some things as we go out and try to learn how to love the people that don't look like us, and we make very snap judgments. Here are some things that you need to remember. That name that you call somebody, do you realize you're hurling that at the very image of God? That title or that label that you're putting out there for an individual, you're putting it out there for somebody who God says, this is my image. That attitude that you're bringing in, you get what's happening, right? You're bringing that attitude toward the very image of God. Yeah, sometimes that image is a little tainted by sin. We'll talk about that in just a couple weeks. But not only are we all created in God's image, we all have something else in common. This is what it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, remember, whenever you see a therefore in the Bible, it's a very good idea to find out what it's there for. This is an important point. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and this way, death came to all people because all have sinned. This is important for us to remember. I got to be careful I move this today because I pulled a back muscle staying in the deck yesterday. This is important for us to remember because very oftentimes when I go out into the neighborhood, I think this is just about ask somebody to church. Ask somebody to church. I don't take into account they're my neighbor. I'm not just going to ask them to church. I'm going to show them the love of Christ. And you understand that might mean that I have to do more than just say, want to come to church with me. I may have to move past some of my own prejudices. I may have to move past some of my own biases. I may have to move past some of my own attitudes. It means that I have to literally become the person of Christ going out and asking them. That's important for us. Because guess what, folks? Welcome to the neighborhood. It's a neighborhood that as we move through and we look at the different people that are in our neighborhood, it is going to challenge us on the way that we view our world. Folks, this isn't Sesame Street. This is a real world with real problems. So let me give you a suggestion. Pull up a chair. Sit for a while. And let's meet the people in our neighborhood. And let's also choose amongst ourselves to love them for who God made them to be. And let's love them in spite of the things that their lives are struggling with. Let's just learn to love our neighbor as God loved them. I'm going to ask the worship team to make their way back up, and I'm going to stand up very slowly. I'm going to ask you to please stand. And this morning I'd like to ask you, who are the people in your neighborhood? Who are the people that as you look around, God is giving you the opportunity to meet? Have you labeled them as those people? Have you plastered some other kind of label on them and said, hey, they're not part of my mission because they're those people? God wants us to understand, folks, these are the people in the neighborhood. And he desires for us to just love them. Let's pray.